This morning, I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 32. And we're going to be looking at Psalm 32, the first five verses of this. This psalm is written by David. David was a man after God's own heart. But David also did things wrong. He had the notorious affair with Bathsheba that actually had a child that God took. David had Uriah killed when David was trying to cover up his sin. David disobeyed God and numbered the people and caused 70,000 to die. David was not perfect. We're not perfect. David went into sin. We can go into sin. And David had guilt feelings when he sinned. And this psalm talks about how he deals with that and how we could deal with that this morning. So the title of my sermon is, Why Feel Guilty? Why feel guilty? We're looking at the first five verses of Psalm chapter 32. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the name of Jesus. There's something about that name. It gives us forgiveness. It gives us grace. It gives us mercy. And Father, it gives us our word. Lord, I just ask to help us, Lord, to understand the truth of your word, that your Holy Spirit will have full reign here today. That this message will change our hearts, Lord, and our lives, and we won't be the same. Father, I ask that there's someone here who does not know you as Savior, Lord, today to be the day of their salvation. Father, for us here today, that someone might be under the load of guilt, Lord, I pray that you just take that away. Lord, help us, Lord, as we read your word and study it, that your truth would come out and would change us. Take away all distractions and bind Satan on our behalf. And let your Holy Spirit have full reign. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In Psalm chapter 32, verses 1 through 5, it says, Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. And my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. In this psalm this morning, we have a great contrast. The contrast is those who are released by forgiveness of sins are blessed. And they have peace in God. But it could be contrasted with those that are bound in sin, as we find David here in verses 3 through 5 of this psalm. David knows what's going to happen. He writes the entire story. But you know the neat thing about the Bible is that God puts the positive thing first. He wants us to look at what he can provide for us, that we would accept it at his word. And it says here, he says, Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. David describes his guilt feelings in verses 3 and 4. You know, when I was a kid, don't tell my mom this, never told her this. When I was a kid, there was a department store up the street, and I wanted this ball glove. And I didn't have enough money to buy the ball glove because it cost $9 full price. So I went in that store and I changed the tag on it to $5. And I took the ball glove home and I looked at that thing, and then all of a sudden I felt bad about it. I felt guilt. Every time I put that glove on, it just didn't feel right. And I got convicted and I felt remorse And I felt sorry for that. And after about 3 weeks, I couldn't stand it anymore. So I had saved up some more money. I went back up to the store and I went to the manager with the ball glove. And I said, I did this. I changed the sticker on it. And I changed it from this to this. And here's the rest of the money. Will you forgive me? And he did. You know, when you do something like that and you get right with somebody, you have this big relief. David here is absolutely miserable. When I was going through this for those 3 weeks, it was total miserable. Have you ever did that? You've done something wrong and you've hit it. You're not happy with it. You're not happy with yourself. You're not happy with the situation. Everything looks like it's turning upside down. And you go, wow. But then when you make it right, everything is right. Amen. So can you identify with David this morning? Oh, we can all identify with him this morning. So let's get a description here. What is guilt? I'm going to give you the first description, and then later on I'm going to give you another one. But they both talk about guilt. The dictionary basically says that it's the state of one who has committed an offense, especially a willful violation of a legal or moral code. That's what I did. I changed something wrongly. I broke the law. We all break the law. And this is what the dictionary says. It says it's a willful violation. We cause the guilt that's in our lives. It just doesn't come on. We do something that causes. David has done something here. We don't know exactly what it is. But he was just like us. And he did something wrong. And he's trying to cover it up. He's not confessing it initially. See, willful violation of moral integrity should bring deep remorse. But unfortunately today, we see people who are just habitual liars. We see people just do wrong and there doesn't seem to be any consequence in their life. And we wonder, how did that be? How can it be? It should cause us to get things right. There's people who just don't want to get things right anymore. But you know, when you were a kid and you did something wrong, or you did something wrong with your spouse and something was going on in the relationship, it's going to be seen by the other person. You have a guilty conscience. Guilt's written all over your what? Your face. Your actions show that there's something not right here. And that's what's going on with David this morning. So what I want to do is I want to show three things about why do you feel guilty and what you can do about it. The first thing is, you may feel guilty because you are. Simple. Well, I didn't do it. You know, if you go into jail, most people will say that I'm innocent. Then why are you in jail? And the issue is David felt guilty because of his sins. He acknowledges them then verses 1 and 2. He says, transgressions and sin is covered and imputed not iniquity. But the issue is here is David hadn't gotten right with God. Maybe some of you here this morning not right with God. And you feel guilty because you know you've done something wrong. Maybe you're doing something wrong now. Kids against your parents. Husband against your wife. Wife against your husband. Someone at work. You're not doing the right thing. David felt guilty because of his sin. And let's all admit it. We're all guilty before God. In Romans chapter 3, he says, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, it's not that bad. Have you heard that before? Have you tried that excuse? Does it work? No, it doesn't work. And there's people today said, what I'm doing, I'm not doing anything wrong. Everybody else is doing it. That doesn't mean anything. There is an absolute moral standard, and that's God. There's an absolute legal standard, and that's God. There's an absolute righteousness standard, and that's God. Folks, we sin against God. It's sin, period. Amen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 19, it says, now we know. We all know this. Don't say, this doesn't apply to me. Oh, yes, it does. For we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. We're all under that law. That every mouth may be stopped and that all the world may become what? Guilty before God. We can't keep the law. We get grace and mercy from Jesus, who fulfilled the law for us and gives us forgiveness of sins. But as far as being right and doing right every day, I sin every day. The pastor sins. Yes, I do wrong, and you do too. And don't think that you don't. Okay? Well, it wasn't that bad. James chapter 2, verse 10 says this, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point." Well, guess what? What does the whole mean? 100%. You have a perfect score on a paper? It means you got nothing wrong. People now want bonus points. So they get something wrong and they cover it up over here. I got 100 average. No, you had a 90 with 10 points bonus. You still got something wrong. "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is what? Guilty of all." So let's face it, we are all guilty before God. And if you're carrying that guilt around today, then you're miserable. You may have a smile on your face, but deep inside you know that there's a need there that needs to be fixed. Back in the book of Daniel, Daniel has the gift of interpreting dreams. He interprets Nebuchadnezzar's dreams. Daniel goes off of the radar of the Babylonian Empire until the very last night of the Babylonian Empire. And there's a guy by the name of Belshazzar. He's grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. And he's having a party. He doesn't care that the adversaries, the Persian army, is right outside the gate. He doesn't care that he's surrounded. But he's having a party. He says, "Hey, let's have a party and let's bring all the temple worship instruments and cups and everything out of the temple of Jerusalem and we'll have a party with those." And so he desecrates God's stuff. And then we know the finger comes out and starts writing on the wall, the handwriting on the wall. Most of the sayings that we hear in common language today come from the Bible. And so he's shaking because he sees his hand come out of nowhere and starts writing, "Many, many, Tico, Upharsin. I don't understand what this is. I just don't understand why I feel so bad." And so they call Daniel after nobody else could interpret what's being said here. And Daniel says this. He says, "Your empire is finished. You've been weighed in the scales and been found wanting." You know, God is the God of judgment. He is the God of justice. He knows what is right and what is wrong. He defines it. You may think you're innocent, but you're still guilty. You may think it's not that bad, but it still hurts somebody. If it's a violation of God's word, it's still sin. It doesn't matter. And he says, and Daniel told the king, he says, "You've been found wanting, and this night your life will be required of you. And your kingdom is gone." Job, who was a righteous man, still had some issues in his life. He didn't understand why things were happening, and he started accusing God. And in Job chapter 31, verse 6, he says, "Let me be weighed in an even balance that God may know my integrity." See, we just want God to be fair. No, we want God to be right. We want God to be just. And it's not how we think about right and what we think about justice. It's about what God says about it. And either we meet that standard or we don't. Right. David has not met that standard and he's guilty. He's absolutely miserable here. But you know something? Guilt feelings can have a positive effect. It forced me to go back to the store and make that right. And so we need to understand that God gives us a conscience. God works circumstances in our lives. You know, if you had some sort of thing going on in your body, it might be a warning sign of a disease, or it might be a warning sign of some sort of health problem that you have. And what would we do if we see that? Well, you don't ignore it, you go get it right. They may become from an awakened conscience. If all of a sudden something pops in your brain that you didn't get right, get it right. They may be the result from the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Christ told the disciples, he says, I want to leave you a comforter. I want to give you the Holy Spirit. He's going to convince the world of sin. He's going to reprove sin, basically correct it in your all's life. In Psalm 51, verse 3, another psalm that David wrote, this is the one that after he had the affair with Bathsheba, it says, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. We need to be watching for it, folks. So you may feel guilty because you are guilty. David is guilty here. And he says, I have transgression, I have iniquity, I have sin, and I need this fixed. Is that you this morning? You can get it fixed today. You get it fixed right now. You may feel guilty because you haven't been forgiven. Look at verse 3. He says, when I kept silence. So he's doing these things. He knows he's wrong. And he's not saying anything to God about it. He thinks that God doesn't see. Oh, yes, he does. He keeps silence. How? David felt before confessing his sins and receiving forgiveness. Let's look at verse 3. The first one, he says, when I kept silence, I didn't get this right with God. He says, my bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. He felt older than his years. And you know, there's people that been through a rough life and built through a guilt-ridden life, and it shows on their face. It shows in their life. It shortens their lifespan down. And that's a sad thing. And he says, oh, my roaring all the day long. He's, I'm miserable. I can't stand it anymore. Verse 4 says, for night, day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. He felt as God was against him. You know, really, the whole issue is God's just trying to get his attention. Maybe God's trying to get your attention this morning by saying that you may not be as good as you think you are. There may be things in you're hiding in your past that God said, you need to get that right. You need to get that right today. But he felt as God was against him. And then verse 4 says, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. He said he felt as though he was in a spiritual desert. Ever been there? Ever been there where you don't think that God's hearing you? Ever been there when you don't think anyone cares, including God? Maybe we need to examine ourselves and see if we're right before God. If our heart condemns us not, we have confidence with God. So this is how David felt before confessing his sins. After that, he says, blessed, happy, everything changes. See, forgiveness was available to David, but he had not accepted it yet. And I want to quickly show you four things about what the Bible talks about getting forgiveness of God. First of all, God does see, God does hear, God does care, and God, the Lord, invites us to be forgiven. And so in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16, it says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. We cause the problem in our lives. We have to come to God and get rid of it. We have to come to Him. The Lord invites us to be forgiven. The Lord paid for our sins. In Isaiah 53 verses 5 and 6, but He was wounded for our what? Transgressions. Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven. He was bruised for our iniquity. Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Blessed is man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, whose sin is covered. Only God can do that. You know, sometimes we do something wrong and you go tell your friend. Your friend can't get rid of your sin. Only God can. You might feel better for a little bit by getting it off your chest, but it's still there. And the guilt is going to come back. You need to get right with God. God invites us to be forgiven. He paid for our sins. He guarantees forgiveness. In Hebrews chapter 7, verses 25 through 28, it says, wherefore he is able to save them to the what? Uttermost. Well, he can't forgive my sin. My sin's too bad. No, it's not. The only sin that God can't forgive is unbelief. If you just don't follow what God says, and then there is no relief. If that guy with the withered hand didn't stretch forth his hand, it would still stay withered. You got to follow what God says.
Right.
It says, wherefore he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God. You got to come to him by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us. And here's why Christ can do this. Who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. In verse 27 it says, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. See, to get rid of guilt back in the Old Testament, you had to bring a sacrifice to the priest. But before the priest could do the sacrifice, he had to do one for his own problems. Christ did it once for all. Because he's the Holy One. It says, for the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son, who is what? Consecrated forevermore. See, the Lord invites us to be forgiven. His death on the cross bought our forgiveness. His forgiveness is guaranteed if you come to him on his terms. And heaven celebrates it. But here's the thing. Look at Psalm 103 verse 5. It says, so who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. You know why you're not totally forgiven? It's because you haven't asked for it yet.
Right.
And heaven celebrates forgiveness. When Christ was telling the parable of the lost sheep, he says, which of you, if you had 100 sheep, if one of them goes away, you go after the one that's gone. And when you come back, what do? You tell everybody about it. He says here, he says in Luke chapter 15, verse 7, he says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth,
right,
more than the one over the 99 just persons which need no repentance. Remember the story of the prodigal son? You know, he went out and he lived his life in sin and it used him all up. And then he came to his senses. And then he says, I'll come back to my father. That's the whole thing about guilt. It needs us to come to our senses so we come back to God. And we ask Him for forgiveness. So you may feel guilty because you are. You may feel guilty because you've not been forgiven. Heaven celebrates forgiveness. In Revelation chapter 5 verses 9 and 10 it says, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals there, for thou was slain and has what? Redeemed us, bought us back to God by the blood, by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and changed your guilt into a blessing. It has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. See, our forgiveness depends on accepting God's gracious offer to sinners. We don't deserve His forgiveness. We deserve every bit of punishment we get. That's His mercy. And then He gives us grace and takes it all away. But you know something? Even grace does not force forgiveness on us. We have to ask for it. So are you guilty this morning? Have you confessed it to God and gotten it right? You can be free from guilt by accepting forgiveness. In verse 5, it says that David finally sought and found forgiveness. What are the steps here? First of all, he acknowledged it. He says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. The next thing is, he owned up to it. He says, my iniquity have I not hid, I said. And then he said something to God about it, and he confessed it. He says, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Here's the point. What is this confession? This confession is saying, no, I'm not sorry because I got caught. I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it again. See, when you're released from this, you don't go back. We're supposed to stand fast in the liberty where God has made us free. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So David finally sought and found forgiveness. See, we need to understand that David's confession fits us all. We need to acknowledge it. We need to accept it as our own. We need to confess it to God and ask for His forgiveness. Sins confessed are sins forgiven. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. At the beginning of this message, I said there was another definition of guilt. There's a second definition. One is about willfully violating a moral law. The other one is a feeling of deserving blame, especially for imagined offenses or from a sense of inadequacy. See, that's what Satan wants to do in your life. We ask God for forgiveness, and then he says, you really weren't forgiven. We ask God for forgiveness, and we want to hang on to it. And say, really, I'm going to go back and do the same thing. I just want to get my conscience helped for a little bit. No, sins forgiven are sins forgotten. We ask God to forgive us our sins. We need to forgive ourselves of the sin. God forgets our sins. We need to forget that. The Bible says this, leaving those things which are behind, leaving the past that's behind, and press towards the mark of the prize of high calling. If there's something in your life that you've asked God to forgive you, and you truly were confessing in that, it's gone. It's gone. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, he says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquity will I what? Remember no more. So once you do something and you get guilty about it and you confess it to God and you get His forgiveness, move on. Don't go back. Don't go back. Hebrews 10:17 says, and their sins and iniquities will I what? Remember no more. Christ is saying this twice in the same book. If he keeps on saying the same thing, he really means it. But do we really mean it? Or do we just like to go through the action or go through the habit and look right instead of being right? See, we have a choice. You can remain a prisoner of your past sins. But why? Why would you want to do that? What we need to do is bring your sins to the one who died for sinners. And you don't have to feel guilty anymore. This message started with a question. Why feel guilty? Guilt should drive us to Christ for confession and to get that rid of. And He cleanses us from all unrighteousness that we can have a relationship with Him and we can go forward and live in victory and not in defeat. Amen. To live in confidence and not be depressed. To do what God wants us to do and have the power to do it. So, are you guilty this morning? Do you need Christ as your Savior? This is the time you get that right. So if you've never known Him as your Savior, if you don't know if you go to heaven when you die, just understand this. Jesus Christ, Son of God, He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross in place of a murderer, and He was numbered between two thieves. That represented the sin of the entire world. He died for all man's sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He was buried, and on the third day He arose. Amen. To show He has power over death. Amen. And power to forgive sins. When He healed the man of the palsy, He says, to show you that I have the power to forgive sins, rise up and walk. To show that He can forgive sins. See to the blind man. He wants to do that. He doesn't want you to live a life of feeling guilty.